You might like to open your Bible to Psalm 23 for a moment. And we, in the process of our study, in the process of our study of Jeremiah, we have slipped over to Psalm 23 in verse 4. And then since verse 4 is directly related to verse 5, we had to do verse 5. And since we started verse 5, we've got to finish verse 5 to tie the pieces together. So, and in the process of doing that, we enter into the immensity of God's word and God, as you'll see in a minute. Now, and remind ourselves. Now, so God, David, walking in the shadow of the valley of death, dark, dead, evil, he's in the middle of it. There's no way out of it. So we are. Here we are, traveling down the corridor of time. And in the process, his rod, the authority, the rule, the power, and the staff, his support, God's going to take care of things. He's the boss. He takes care of things. Therefore, we are comforted. The word comfort, to take a breath, to just relax in distress. You stop distress. Distress, you stop. And thus, God prepares a table before us, before David, as we shared, in the presence of his enemies. So the world of darkness has to look at us and see us. That's why God leaves us, that God would have a witness to his saving grace. Why do you want to have a witness to thy saving grace? Because once I stop this little period in history, Christ rejected on the cross by Jew and Gentile, and God's giving a space. Why is he giving a space? Because the next event is the wrath of God. And God's giving space before that happens. Space. So people can think about it. Now, having said that, the table before us, and he anoints our head with oil, anoint to be fat, full, the fullness, fatness, healthiness. He anoints our head with oil, fatness. And to boot, add to that fullness and fatness, the cup overflows. It overflows. The good Near East hospitality, they make sure they spill a little after they fill your glass to let you know there's lots. There's enough. Now, so here's the cup overflowing, which we've been looking at. Now, doing that, so remember now, here's the cup overflowing, the fullness of the cup. And picking up in mind, if I can, and we share together, in the process, and keep in mind God's people all the way back to the beginning. God takes care of his people. Their testimonies. Abel was a testimony before Cain in the world, before he was killed by his brother. And Abraham is a testimony. Abraham, God took care of Abraham. And Abraham was blessed by God. Chapter 13 of Genesis. Chapter 14, he went after the five kings that took Sodom, sought the people of Sodom, and his 318 men beat five kings. They just beat. Abraham trained them, and off they went and defeated the five kings and their armies. He did it. God did it. And the king of Sodom offered him all of the loot, all of the bounty, all of the material things that came after that, bringing them all back to Sodom. And Abraham refused, remember, chapter 14. I won't even take a shoelace from you. I won't take a shoelace from you. And God turns around, chapter 15, verse 1. I am thy exceeding great reward. I am. I am your riches. Now, with that in mind, we want to get our hearts set to grab this better, because we just have to think a little bit. Over, if I can, to Psalm 103. And you will note, you know Genesis 3 and verse 19. We are from the dust, we are dust, and when we die, we go right back to the ground dust that we came from. No question. All you got to do is find a body, or when they have cremation and that, we put them in a little jar. What have we got? Ashes. Where does it go? Back to the dust. We are dust. Now, in order to see that afresh, Psalm 103, and you will remember in verse 13, like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For, why is that, God? For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are what, dear friend? Dust. You got that part? Now, if you live anywhere and let anything sit still, it collects what? Dust. We have a dust mop to dust the dusty dust. Dust. You're just dust. Now, from God's point of view, when we look, he looks down. If you want to see how significant are we, apart from God, apart from God's wonderful plan in creating us, we're dust. Why? Because we sin, wages of sin is death. We came from dust, we are dust, we go back to dust. Now, having said that about us humans, let's expand it over to Psalm 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Wrong direction. Isaiah and chapter 40. And may I pick up, if I can, Psalm 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Picking up, please, if I can. In verse 15 directly. Behold, the nations are as a drop in of a bucket, and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Sliding down to verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Now we're dust. Now I'm going to look at Europe. I'm going to look at China. I'm going to look at America. I'm going to look at Russia. And look at them. And way back of the Roman Empire. What a big power. Dust. God sees them as dust. Why do I need to see that? Because I want to take advantage of that understanding. Therefore, illustration would be used. If you can just imagine, if you could, we've had them and we had to get rid of them, ants, little ants. Now, and I've had them up here too sometime. Now, here's a little ant. You can't see him because he's so little. Now, what I want you to think about, This little ant belongs to a family of ants, and they live in the community of ants. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how much, you got imagination, how much does this little ant understand about you? Here you are sitting there. Your whole world. Here's the little ant. What does he know about taxes? What does he know about anything? But isn't it true? The little ant, little ant doesn't know about you. But you know about the little ant. And the little ant knows nothing about your world. Nothing. Wow. But it exists, doesn't it? Don't you exist? And you could try to, but if you want to talk to the little ant, you would have to become a little ant. And the little ant goes down and tries to explain to them about your adult world. Here's your adult world. Wow. And the little ant tries to tell about your adult world. And what do? They say he's sort of stupid. The little ant thinks there's another world, thinks there's big people that know and do everything. But the little ant, no one wants to listen to him. God sent his son to help us understand about God. And we look at him. He's just like us. And he's trying to help us understand the bigger picture. The big picture. And we all look at him. What big picture? What big picture? David, my cup runneth over. God, what do you see, David, that the rest of them don't see? God was helping David. So here's our Lord. And they crucified him. They crucified him. They said he's sort of dumb. He thinks there's a God, like a big God. A God like him. He is God. No, it can't be. So, now I'm going to go up a step further. You understand you're wonderfully different than the whole world down there in the ants. I'm going to go up above you and me. The angelic world is over us right now. A whole nother world. How many people understand the angelic world? All of them. All over the place. Like the little ant. Well, I don't see any angels. I think there may be angels. But I don't see any angels. I don't see any. But there they are. I can't see them. The ant can't see you. And you can't see the angels. And there they are. A whole nother world. A whole nother dimension in the spirit world. Now I'm going to go up further. I'm going to go on to the angels. And I'm going to pass the angels to God. And God sees everything. God is over everything. The angels are only spirit beings that he created. We're only humans made in his image and likeness. The ants are only that he made, God. Now, do you understand we don't understand the angelic world? Do you understand God's world? God is busy being God. And we said, well, come on, I don't see God. I don't see him doing anything. Well, there must not be a God. No, so therefore what we're doing, we're looking, God, you got to help us. Because why? It's very hard for us humans to see beyond our eyeballs, to understand. Oh, people that are into all of the sciences and everything, and they're overwhelmed, botanist or whatever you want to be, in the process, there are over 400,000 species of plants. Over 400,000 that they know of. Plants. If you're going to study plants, where do you start? At 400,000. to study plants. And if you're going to go and look at butterflies, there's over 50,000 different butterflies that they know of. 50,000 different butterflies. Wow. Wow. And there's only over 20,000 varieties of birds. You thought the robin was the only one. 20,000 over. That's nothing. And we just did. I won't do it again because you got it. Here's the one little Milky Way that the Hubble telescope locked onto and took a picture. The little galaxy up there and zeroed in on it and measured. I don't know how they measured it. They measured it 273,000 light years. A light year is 6 trillion miles. 273,000 times 6 trillion would give you the distance they guessed at. What do you think of that? That's just one little galaxy. God threw the stars. Everything, God is awesome. That's the whole point. But we can't see. The little ants are going to be busy doing what they do because they can't conceive of such things. Ah, but they are. And David, that's why you're so excited to be able to say in your latter days, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God makes a table before me fat, and my cup overfloweth. God, overflowing with your immensity. What is so awesome? Remember, now we did that. Again, keep in mind, here we are, our old nature. We're little ants. Now we're little ants. And God, we receive the Lord as our Savior. And God does something wonderful. We're little ants. And God saves us. This is my ant world. This is my human world. But God brings me into his world in Christ Jesus. When I receive him as my Savior, God brings me into his realm. And David, all the people around you, they don't see anything. But David, you know, you have God, like Moses. He endured him, like Hebrews 11. He endured him who was invisible. He knew another dimension, a whole other world, where God was doing what it was doing, and no one could see it. So as we go down the corridor then, as we're doing this, now, so we're going to exercise a little bit. And the demand, God's supply, God's wonderful dimensions exceed anything that we could ever imagine, ask, or think. Exceed all our demands, so that everything God does is enough. Everything is awesome. The ants we don't see it, but God does. And the angels do. Wow. They look and see the dimension that is beyond us, that God is working with. In the little heart of David, he's going down the corridor of time, and God is covering him with all his working, but no one can see it. David said, I know it. I know it. I know it, God. You're awesome. My cup overfloweth. God, I know. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, over to Mark chapter 8. In the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 8. And you'll pick it up. Now remember, all kinds of, 100 ways to do this. We'll just do whatever we can in these moments. Mark chapter 8, God is helping his disciples learn. They need to be educated. God is helping them with all kinds of illustration to help them understand. Therefore, Mark chapter 8, in verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, I'll read verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. That's what God's talking about, leaven of Herod and the Pharisees, but they couldn't catch that. All they looked at was their own resources. How much bread do we have? Verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Why would you even bring up no bread? Why would you even look at, we don't have any bread? Verse 18, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do you not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000 men, that's over 15,000 people, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. 12 baskets went out, and 12 baskets came back. Verse 20. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7, full. They're always full. Why? My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head in fullness, and my cup is overflowing. When does it get down? It never gets down. The basket's never empty. God is never limited, being who he is in your heart if you're saved. Never. He's full. Hang on. And thus, the point, verse 21, and he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Didn't you learn anything when I did the baskets? I'm trying to help you understand. I'm God. You're limited to your little world and to your loaf of bread that your little boy has, the 2 biscuits. That's what you're limited to. But I'm not limited to 2 biscuits. I'm not limited to little fishes. I can do whatever I want. David saw it. Most people right now have no idea what I'm trying to say. A whole nother, the ant illustration. We're sort of stupid about that. Not you guys, of course. Stupid about the whole thing. We just have no idea, God. We just think it's us. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in light of that, so there's always wonderfully, wonderfully, and overflowing. And so therefore, when we look at the word overflow, remember we did that together in some detail over this little bit, and it means to become saturated, to become saturated, drenched. In other words, the sponge, remember we did the sponge, a good sponge, and a good sponge goes down into the water, and when it's down in the water, it brings, and you lift the sponge up, and it's totally soaked, it's drenched, it can't hold any more water, it took in all it could take, and it's dripping. That's what it's doing. That's the word. My cup overflows. It's saturated, satiated. It's drenched. It's just full, wonderfully, wonderfully full. And therefore, it's soaked. I'm supposed to be enjoying the fullness of God. Thou anointest my head with oil. I'm supposed to be enjoying God's wonderful cup, which overflows. God fills my cup. My cup is nothing. But when God saves me, he brings to me my little cup. He brings to me his whole dimension so that I can enjoy God. I can't see him. I don't need to see him. I just need to know he's there. What is he doing? He's covering all the stuff I can't see. I don't understand it, but God does. Now, you know, here's a wonderful person of Job without going there. What about Job? Well, Job chapter 1, Job's right with God. Nothing wrong with Job. He's in fellowship with him. God's blessing him. But the devil wanted to test him. And God allowed the devil to test him. And therefore, in order to make the test God allowed Satan, the devil, to go and take away everything. Chapter 2 is health even. Took away everything. And Job had to work through that. Why? How could he work through it? How could you possibly hang in there, Job? Because he wasn't talking to his friends. His friends were trying to help him. The other people, believers, are trying to help him. But they can't. Because Job needs to look to God. And Job looked to God. And Job is going to find out that God, I'm looking to you to help me through this. I lost, everything's terrible. But God, you're busy being God, and he was. And he let Job go through all of that. And Job was going to look to God to see the invisible God, to see the God who did everything. That's what Job did. And Job looked to God. Wow. And God took him through it and gave him twice everything afterwards. He doubled it. Job went through the test. And you think, that's, Job is nothing compared to our Lord himself, who became, Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself to be a slave and had no home, he had nothing except opposition and hatred. He did that his 33 years of his life. He did that. How could he possibly do that? God. He enjoyed God's care. That's why he could do it. That's why he could do it. God took care. He saw God. He knew God. He was God. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, so the overflow needs to do and be all that it is. So, God, what are we doing? You're going to help David, you're going to help us. We need to understand God's doing all that he does for his great name's sake. So, A, we can't look for God to be running the show around our life because of our life. No, God is doing, saving us, keeping us in it for his name's sake. That's why God's doing it. God's doing this for his name's sake, for his glory. So God, are you understanding my problem, God? God said, back to the person, do you understand God's problem? God's trying to work out his glory and honor in a world that hates him, that crucified him, and he's demonstrating his grace until his wrath. They said, God doesn't. Do you know Revelation 6 and all that? The world's going to hide when God shows himself to the world. They're all going to hide in rocks everywhere. Why? God, you aren't. And God said, well, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you're going to know it. Now, in the process of God's wonderful, wonderful grace in keeping and doing all of these wonderful things, if I can, Jeremiah. And you remember in our study of Jeremiah, And in Jeremiah, God has a wonderful future for Israel. Right now, they're in trouble. And they're going to have to do some, God has to help them, and he will help them through this, because they have to survive. North and south, they got a problem. Okay, so that's very good in one sense. The world's all sitting there wondering how it's going to come out, because what's going to happen, in which way is it going to go? The little ants, remember? They're this, at each other. They have no idea of anything else. The angels, and then God doing what he's doing. But we're doing what we're doing. That's right. Now, having said that, so God has a wonderful future for Israel. What's it going to include? It's going to include what David knew, my cup overfloweth, they do not know. Therefore, Isaiah 31, you'll remember it, verse 12. Therefore shall they come and sing in the height of Zion, in the millennial kingdom when he comes. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered cup. There's the little word water, overflowing. The cup's overflowing. Overflowing garden, water. And they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Verse 14, you know, and I will satiate, there's the word overflow. I will satiate, satisfy, drench the soul of the priest with fatness. Remember, anoint my head with oil, fat, with fatness. And thy people shall be satisfied and with and my goodness, saith the Lord. Over to verse 25. For I have satiated. Why is it going to be so wonderful? Because I have, my cup is overflowing. Satiated, drenched the weary soul, and have replenished every sorrowful soul. I have gone in my wonderful grace and did a wonderful thing in at working it all out. Now God, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's wonderful care and all that he's doing. Now, and you know, with taking all the different things, if we took, well, we'll do a couple of things. Go over, if I can, to just, you'll see it. You know all this. Philippians. All over the place. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, if I may, and picking up in chapter 4, if I can, you know what's the problem, what to do, we're to have fellowship with the Lord and make sure we're very God conscious. Be careful, verse 6, be careful, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't have a divided mind, be careful for nothing. 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're looking to God so we don't worry, we don't want, we don't fret, we get on the corridor of time. And if there's a problem, we have to look to God specifically so that we don't worry about it. So that's why otherwise we're just thanking God that he's taking care of things. That's what we do. We have to be detailed, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, because that's what it says. Thank him. But if you got a problem, then you're going to say, God, I got a problem. And you're going to give God the problem. Give God the problem. So he's going to go, and that's why I'm trusting God. And that's what I'm going to do. What is that going to do? Is I really am going to give the looking to God to outwork it. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. Now, how are you going to explain it? How are you going to explain you're trusting God? You got a terrible problem. How are you going to explain this? Because you're looking to God, and God said his peace passes anything you can explain. So I can't explain them. I can't explain them to anybody. But God, I'm going to do this. And he probably cut this part out. Anyway, I had to go with my eyes again. Everything they've done all these months, I've tried everything in all kinds of ways. So far, we got a big zero. Big zero. God, I wish I'd like to fix this. Now, Paul tried three times. Asked Paul. Paul said three times, "Would you?" And God said, "Forget it. My grace is enough." Well, I've tried 5,000 times. See? So I keep trying. I keep trying. But God, you're not done. Now, I'm trying, God. I'm trying. But God is going to do what he does. Can I answer this? No. I have no answer for it. Neither does the doctor. Neither does the doctor. I said, "Doc, did you ever have a patient like me?" You know, I mean, I hate to give you such bad news. You just are a bad doctor. You can't fix me. What can I tell you? No. We have to give God and the peace of God, which I could not explain in 1,000 years. God, thank you. Thank you. Got it? Thank you. But, thank you anyway. Now, in the process for that, over to 1 Peter. And chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Picking up, please, in verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen your love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet you believe." I don't. But the world doesn't see either. They don't see. But God, but David, you did. You betcha. "And yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now, how can you do that? What is that? Think of James chapter 1. The trying of your faith makes you perfect, makes you so you don't want anything. Why? Because you're trusting God. How can there be a need? How can there be a need, God, when you're doing what you're doing? Be who you are. Thank you. Us little ants look up, and we thank God. That's what we do. Wow. Now, therefore, with joy unspeakable, now put that together, tie that. Joy unspeakable. Application over to Luke chapter 15. And in Luke in chapter 15, if I may. And you will note, in Luke chapter 15, you remember the illustration God used of the prodigal son, who had everything, and he went out to the world. He was going to satisfy the world. Wasn't a great attraction, an alluring temptation. And he ran out. Boy, I'm going to have to be like, look at the job. They had a job. I got this. I got that. Look what the world can do and give you. And he went out. That's what he did. Now, he did that. And of course, you know, the world doesn't care about you. The world only cares about itself. That's all it cares about. Its own end. That's all it is. Now, and that's what we did on Sunday, the herd psychology and that. People just go. And the leaders know that. So they lead them and they have power, position, wealth, using the crowd, playing the game. This went against that one. Wow. Now, so here comes the son back. As you know, and he goes back. And in the process of going back, verse 22, And I'll read verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He was being straight and direct and humbled. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Just give him the plushness from that kind of day he lived in. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Why? Because the believing son got his act right to enjoy being a believer. Enjoy being part of the family of God in a wonderful way. He got his act back right. It cost him, and it was a celebration. Joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Wow. Now, keep going. Now, verse 25. Now, his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. They were all jumping around, excited. The son came back. Verse 27. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now the son, wow, I can understand him. He was angry and would not go in. I'm not going to go in. Therefore came his father out, why aren't you coming in? And entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgresseth I at any time thy commandments. In other words, I've been a good son. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You always had everything. You could have got any calf you wanted and picked any robe you wanted. You always had everything. And you think, you just believing heart, you already got everything. I wish I had what the other. You already have it. If you're a son, if you're a child of God, you already got it. It isn't something you're going to get. It's something you have. Either you exercise it properly or you don't. That was the trouble with the son that stayed. I've been faithful to God. That's what I've been. But God, you did it to them. Why don't you do it for me? God is doing what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. All things work together for I forgot, what's the thing? All things work together for something. What is it? They work together for good. They work together for good. That's what they do. It's a wonderful thing. I got to quit. We haven't even got going. You got a little bit? I can go on. Another 10 minutes maybe. Do you understand what I want you to see? It's full. I'll do it just to show you. Romans 8. And we'll close with that fast. And appreciate your patience. But if you got this little bit of understanding, you're going to have a good night's sleep for a change. Because you're going to think, God, as I lay in that little bed and look up to the ceiling, God, this whole thing is in your hands. The stars, somewhere over the rainbow, I look out, oh God, somewhere, yeah, God, I'm not looking up at the stars. I'm looking at you who made the stars, zillions of them. I got it, God. Wow. Now, Romans and 8. And we appreciate all your patience and God help us. Chapter 8, if I may. Picking up, please, verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are sheep as counted for the slaughter. That's who we are. Oh, what a terrible lot. Job, our Lord, us, here we are in the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. It's all around me. Aha, it is. But, verse 37, nay, in all of this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more, we got everything going for us. God's taking care of the whole ball game here until we get there. Now, God, thank you. Thank you very much. You see? That's what you do. It's a wonderful thing. The average believer misses this. They have no understanding. I know that. How could you possibly be a believer and live like you do and never talk, never bring something's wrong with your life? It's just an exciting thing. It's an exciting thing to know God's supplying everything and you just trust him. Peace of God, which passes understanding. Joy unspeakable. Overcoming this, a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Wow.